Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Guys, the Patriots couldn't have had a more convincing win. Is it possible to have a statement game in Week 9?
Why not?
Well, okay.
Why not? Best team in football right now. We always say it's a week-to-week league. Well, right now, this week, Patriots are the best team in football.
So prior to this, you say Denver was the best team in football?
I do. I mean, I think most people were. People had Denver. So it's been a short-lived span all season. You know, I think some people thought it was the Bengals. You thought it was the Chargers for a while.
At one time.
You
know,
they never
Seattle's
won again.
Seattle's the defending champs. You have Denver. But I don't know how you can argue against the Patriots right now. And it's so different than 5 weeks ago, obviously. And 3 weeks from now, maybe we're singing a different tune. But the here and now?
But, you know, they've beaten the Broncos before, and they've beaten other good teams during the season. Why was this so much more definitive in terms of a statement?
Well, I think it's the way they beat them. I think that they were pretty dominant on both sides of the ball. I thought they did a lot of things to bother Manning. I thought the flooding of the zone, something that Andy and I really spoke a lot about during the course of the week. For once, we got one right. We had a game plan correct. That's what they did, and I think it really bothered a high-powered offense. It slowed it down a little bit. Did they shut them down? No, but they slowed them down. And then offensively, you're seeing the continuation of what Gronkowski means to the entire group. And Andy put it on the post-game show when we were talking about it on game night. You're back to thinking this offense is you can put them down, pencil it in, 35 points. That's what they're going to do against everybody.
Yeah. And on defense, Andy, I saw what you wrote on Patriots.com that there's room for improvement with Browner and Revis, and that's a good sign they didn't play their best, yet they still shut down, but limited Manning and his receivers.
Yes, and especially Browner. You know, the physicality is there. Sometimes it's a penalty, sometimes it's a good play. I think as you get into the postseason, they're going to let him play even more. I thought if they let him play for the most part in the Denver game. And another good thing with Browner is everybody told us he can't move. Oh, he's got to be your right corner. You got to do everything around him, revolve the Well, I saw him on the right side. I saw him on the left side. I saw him at linebacker for, you know, 10 different snaps where he was talking about it in the locker room this week where, you know, he had his hands on his knees. He felt like a linebacker out there. He's showing some versatility that most people said he didn't have. I'm intrigued. You know, when you have a game where Alphonso Dennard's a healthy scratch, he used to be your starting cornerback. He's a healthy scratch, and you are confusing and throwing bodies at Peyton Manning. That's a good sign for this pass defense down the road.
And one of the things I was most impressed with, you know, in past years, it's been getting off the field on third down has been, you know, the Achilles heel for this team. And in this game, you know, sure, they were giving up yards on first and second down. Obviously, with over 400 yards passing, you're going to do that. But when it came to third down and fourth down, fourth and short, the Patriots got off the field. And that's something they hadn't been able to do up until this season. And now it looks like, you know, they're much improved in that area.
And that's when you go into the game and you say 21 points and whatever, it was close to 500 total yards. And you say, oh, they must have really been lucky. But you're right. They were able to make plays when they had to. The early fourth down in the first half when they get the sack, you know, and the Broncos had missed a field goal in the previous drive that probably, you know, discouraged from John Fox from trying another field goal. And he goes for it on fourth down. And not only you get the stop, but you get a sack. So you get even better field position. Those are key defensive plays. And that's the way they used to play. They used to bend a little bit. And now all of a sudden they're not breaking at all. And they're making plays when they have to. When you can take the ball away and you can, in general, protect the football, you can win a lot of games. That's been the formula through 9 weeks.
And, you know, a lot of people were saying they were glad that weather really wasn't a factor in this game because, you know, it was an even playing field. It didn't hurt Peyton Manning, or it shouldn't have hurt Peyton Manning. And, you know, the Patriots played them, you know, on in a neutral type of environment and came out the better team.
Yeah, I agree with what Coach Belichick said. I think wind was a factor a little bit in the kicking game, but for the most part, there was no asterisk next to this game. There was no conditions. Everything was out of the way. Bill was right. The weathermen were wrong or right. I don't know which
actually,
it was.
Actually, the weathermen were spot on. If you looked at the reports, exactly what they said would happen.
Well, that's what they say. Their defense is we're always right. So I don't know who's right.
I don't know about that.
But the bottom line is, you just beat them. You know, there weren't freaky turnovers. Yes, there were turnovers, because those happen in football games generally. Yes, you got a punt return, but good teams make those plays. As Paul said, that's how the Patriots used to win. Get off the field, key turnovers,
make a play.
Maybe a key punt return. We got that from Julian Edelman, and I still think the biggest factor, all those things are great, but to me, they're a little bit of gravy. The main dish is the offense is back. Brady is ignoring the rush because he was under pressure. He was getting hit. All of a sudden, not only does he move around in the pocket, he's making throws on the run. He's rolling out and throwing, making plays. And Gronkowski is Gronkowski, and the rest of the offense just feeds off that. I just think when you know you're going to score 30-plus points, it's easier for all the other stuff to fall into place.
All right, well, the team's 7-2. They're going into the bye, and if the season ended today, they'd have the number one seed in the AFC. We're on to Indianapolis.
Anytime you keep Peyton Manning and that Broncos passing offense in check, it's obviously going to be a group effort. And I know Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner got the bulk of the credit, but I don't want to overlook Kyle Arrington. The job he did on Sunday against Wes Welker, I think, deserves a mention. Obviously, Arrington has a lot of familiarity with Welker from their time as teammates together here in practice, and it showed. Arrington was all over him. Welker looks done, yes. He looks like he's right at the end of the line, but that doesn't take anything away from the job that Kyle Arrington did. After the last couple of weeks, he was a small part of the defense. On Sunday, he came up huge. A couple of weeks ago, before the trading deadline, the Patriots made a minor deal to pick up linebacker Akeem Ayers from Tennessee. Not a lot of people thought it was really an impact move. He hadn't really played a whole lot, just a handful of snaps with the Titans. And here you are, 2 weeks, two games with the Patriots, two sacks for Ayers, and a huge play on Sunday. On fourth down in the second quarter, the Broncos were still in the game, down 20-7. They pass up the field goal. Ayers comes in, sacks Peyton Manning. The only time that Manning was hit the whole game, Akeem Ayers comes up with the play. This could be another one of those under-the-radar moves by Bill Belichick that pays dividends down the road. I'm going to look at Steven Gostkowski for my final point this week, and I've been meaning to talk about him pretty much every week. He has just been money for this football team. Only one miss all season long. That was in Buffalo due to a bad snap. And on Sunday, you saw just how important it is to have a kicker that you can rely on in bad weather. 45-yarder into the wind, 49-yarder with the wind. It didn't matter. For Denver, it did matter. There was a big difference. It's really a big level of comfort for the Patriots offense to know that if they stall, Gostkowski is going to get them points.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
This is always a good time where you can lay low, get your muscles feeling strong again, and just want to feel just healthy again.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide.
Images of the week from a beatdown on the Broncos. Here's Julian Edelman not only catching the touchdown pass, but getting face masks at the same time. Rob Ninkovich had a really good game, always around the ball. And finally, before the game, the team celebrated the 10th anniversary of winning 3 out of 4 Super Bowls with some very special guests.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room at Gillette Stadium, Rob Gronkowski, heading into the bye but coming off a lot of success. What's the mentality right now for this week?
Just got to come in, get some treatment, work hard. Get your strength back. This is always a good time where you can lay low, let your body recover, but also work out in the weight room. Get your muscles feeling strong again and just want to feel just healthy again.
Obviously, this team, this offense, faced some questions the first month, but the last 5 games, it's been, you know, 35, 40 points a game you guys are rolling. What's been the difference?
We've just been going out there and playing together as a team. Defense been playing very well, and the offense been clicking. We're just going out there executing. Everyone's sticking together, and everyone's contributing. The ball's being distributed throughout players all around the field, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, everything. So it's going well. We just got to keep working hard, keep practicing hard.
I remember in training camp, talk was about your injury, and you said, nope, I'm just going to get back to smashing and dashing, was your quote. Last couple weeks, 4 touchdowns. You feel like you're back to smashing and dashing?
Just go out there and play as high as I can and give it all I got every game. So I feel like I'm back, just going out there playing my game. So it's great to be out there playing with the team and doing my job.
You hit 50 career touchdowns this weekend. Obviously a great accomplishment. 33 games faster than the next closest tight end, Antonio Gates. A lot of kids want to be Gronk. I'm wondering, who did Gronk want to be when he was a little kid watching football?
I grew up in Buffalo, so I always watched the Buffalo Bills. So, like, Tequila Spikes I watched, Eric Molds, that type of era. So Buffalo Bills players like that. And it's always cool when I get to meet them. So I always looked up to them, and it's an honor just to come out here and do what I'm doing with the New England Patriots.
On a little bit more serious note, a lot of fans have taken offense to defenders diving at your knees because they see flashbacks to last year. Do you care when defenders go low on you? Is that a point of contention for you? Or do you understand they're little, you're big, and they got to do what they got to do?
Yeah, I understand where it's at, but it's a way to get me down. So I just got to be more aware of it, and I got to go out there and I got to make moves so I can ditch them and not get tackled like that. So I can get out of the way and make a different move so I don't go down.
No game-specific matchups to look at this week, so we'll do what the team does during the bye week, a little self-scouting. We're going to start first with the run game on offense. Obviously, Stephen Ridley gone for the year, torn ACL. Jonas Gray has done a nice job over the first 3 weeks of his Patriots career, but the Patriots in general, over the first 9 games, have not run the ball well enough. 3.6 yards per carry as a team. At some point, Northeast, bad weather games, you're going to want to run the ball better than that. Work on that during the bye week. Come out a stronger run team. Flipping it to the other side of the football, the defense during the bye week, I'm going to focus on the front seven. Things have been good at times up front. Pass rush, inconsistent. Run defense, inconsistent. And the personnel, inconsistent. Learning to play without Jerod Mayo. Chandler Jones is out. We don't know for how long. You bring in Akeem Ayers, immediately has an impact on the defense. Alan Branch, run stuffer. Going to need to stop the run down the stretch. Going to need to get more pressure on the quarterback. That front seven's going to need to come together with new personnel. Finally, we'll look at the Patriots' superlatives through the first 9 games. Midway point of the season, basically. MVP. Who else could it be? Rob Gronkowski. Gronk is back. Dominating defenses like we've seen in the past. And not coincidentally, the offense is taking off. Offensive player of the year, Tom Brady. Last 5 games, 18 touchdowns, 1 interception. Getting some talk for NFL MVP. One thing he's doing is making plays for this Patriots offense. Defensive player of the year, and some fans may question this, I'm going Darrelle Revis. Maybe hasn't been quite as good as he once was with the Jets, but he's been a key figure in that back end, appears to be getting better by the week. Revis Island getting more comfortable in New England. And finally, I'm going to go with an assistant coach of the year, and I'm going with Josh McDaniels. The offense has come together of late. He's worked through changes on the offensive line. He's got Brandon LaFell as a key part of the offense. He's dealt with injuries in the backfield. Josh McDaniels has once again turned this into a 40-point offense, getting the job done.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
At some point, do we get negative and start taking shots at the...
No.
Do I have to say LaFell stinks?
No, I'm not going
to
do
it.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Normally, being drafted in the first round isn't something unfortunate for a player. Unless the team that drafted you is the New York Jets. That describes Mark Sanchez, who returned to playing action on Sunday when Nick Foles, the quarterback of his new team, the Eagles, broke his collarbone. Sanchez not only led the Eagles to the win, but played pretty well for a guy off the bench. Sanchez is a good quarterback. Not great, but good enough to start in the NFL. He's certainly better than what the Jets have to offer currently. They completely mishandled him due to the team's overall incompetence. Now, he's in a better place. Sort of like a dog rescued from abuse into a warm, loving home. Good for Mark Sanchez.
I'm going to take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, the suddenly red-hot, offensively-minded Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, 6 touchdown passes in consecutive games, and it's not just about Antonio Brown on the outside. It's 2 young receivers that are really stepping up. Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, making plays all over the field. Suddenly, the Steelers look formidable. I thought this was a team that was all done and had no chance to make the playoffs. Now, I'm not so sure.
We're all prone to knee-jerk reactions. Hey, I'm the biggest jerk with the biggest reactions. But what is going on with Mark Sanchez? He comes in, plays portions of 1 game, replacing Nick Foles, who's injured, throws 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Great job. But now I'm hearing the Jets develop quarterbacks for other teams, that maybe the Eagles have a quarterback controversy. So they've suddenly gone from re-signing Foles to a big-money deal to Mark Sanchez, who flamed out in New York, is the answer after the portion of a game that he played adequately? We need to pump the brakes, remember how bad Mark Sanchez was at the end of his career in New York, and remember, early on, he was actually pretty good. Let's let it play itself out. Stop being a jerk. Stop using your knee.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
A lot of things going well for the Patriots these days. A lot of contributions from a lot of players. Who's been the most positive surprise among that group?
I'm going to take Brandon LaFell. I didn't expect him to be this much of an impact player on offense. I thought he was sort of a complimentary guy that would help out from every now and then. But I think he's emerged, especially over the last four or five games, as a bigger part of the offense than that. Obviously, it's all about Gronkowski on offense, that everybody else sort of feeds off of him. But I would put him a strong number two.
I think that's a great choice. I think we were sold a bad scouting report on LaFell. My guy's Patrick Chung. And you know where the scouting report came from on
us?
Him? Me! I've seen the guy play here before, and I thought he was going to be an Achilles heel. I thought he was going to be a real weakness, and he was in the preseason. His coverage wasn't good enough. But in the regular season, he hasn't been toasted. We saw it the other night. Yes, he gave up a touchdown, but he was right there. I thought it was his best night of coverage, maybe of his career. He has stayed healthy. He's been a presence in the box. He's been physical. And that position that was so much a question mark next to Devin McCourty, Chung has stabilized it.
Maybe it might just be because I downplayed LaFell a little bit too much. I think you touched on maybe he was undersold to us. More explosive with the ball in his hands than I thought. Making plays after the catch. You know, maybe some drops here and there. He'd like to tighten some of that stuff up, but I think he's gotten open, and I think he's made plays with the ball in his hands. And the most important thing to me, if you had a situation in the first, second week of the season where he dropped a touchdown pass like he did on Sunday, and Tom Brady's going right back to him, he ends up catching six passes after that. That never would have happened early in the year. Tom Brady trusts Brandon LaFell, and Brandon LaFell is making him look good for that trust.
Tom Brady trusts Brandon LaFell. I think Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia trust Patrick Chung, and it's not just the play. He's been healthy, so he's been out there. He's been physical, but they've also done a lot of different things in the back end, moving safeties around, moving corners around, having three safety looks, multiple corner looks. He's been inside on the slot, and I don't think you can do that with just anybody. Not only does his ability allow him to do that, but his experience in this system, in other systems. Tavon Wilson's out there, Daron Harmon's out there. Maybe you can't be quite as versatile in the back end. And I think Patrick Chung, along with McCourty, obviously, has been a big part of that veteran presence.
I mean, I like everything you said about Chung. I'm going to stick with LaFell. My last point that I'll make is just...
At some point, do we get negative and start taking shots at the...
No.
Do I have to say LaFell stinks?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it. You can do it.
He dropped a touchdown right down
there.
That's
generally what you do.
I win.
But just the fact that he's an outside guy, a bigger target on the outside the numbers, I think this offense was really lacking it, and now it has it.
My guy, my last argument, special teams. We thought he was only going to be a key special teams contributor coming back, backup safety. He's done the special teams gig, which may be the most consistent factor on this team all year through nine games. And, oh, by the way, he's been a key contributor on defense. Chung's better than LaFell.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. Locked and loaded for New England's wicked winter weather. Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Here's this week's fantasy tip brought to you by DraftKings. In most contests on DraftKings, you want to target a score around or above 170 fantasy points. With the $50,000 salary cap, you want to get about 3.5 fantasy points for every $1,000 of salary you spend. For example, if Tom Brady is priced at $8,000 on DraftKings, you should ask yourself, can he score 28 fantasy points? Remember, you can win real cash prizes playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Head over there today and use the promo code PFW to receive a free entry into a weekly fantasy football contest. All right, it's question time here in PFW, but first, as always, the Wilson Hart Power Index. And you should be excited, because finally, it took 9 weeks, but all is right in the world. New England Patriots, number one in the Wilson Hart Power Index. It was a 1-2 matchup last week with the Broncos. They jumped into one. It would be a 1-2 matchup this week. Broncos fall just a single spot to two. The Arizona Cardinals, another team that is playing well, only has one loss. They're third in this. Packers, four. And maybe the curiosity of the week, the Miami Dolphins, after a big blowout victory over the Chargers, up 11 spots to number five.
And as always, no human intervention, right?
Nope. Numbers never lie.
All right. All right, well, let's then get to the questions. Mike Margolis has the first question, and it has to do with T.J. Ward. He says, Ward took a shot at Gronk's knee in the first quarter versus the Broncos. What's your take on that play? Was it dirty or a legit tackle technique?
Legit tackle. I think DBs on big guys go low. We heard from Gronk earlier in the show. He doesn't seem to have a problem with it. He understands. He's big, and when guys try to go high on him, he embarrasses them, so a lot of guys are going to go low. It's just football. There are a lot of guys weighing in on Twitter. Teddy Bruschi says, if I were tackling Gronk, I'd go low. Matt Bowen, the former safety, if I were tackling Gronk, I'd go low. It's the life you lead when you're a big, dominant tight end.
If anybody was watching what Terrell Suggs did to LeGarrette Blount on Sunday Night Football, that's trying to hurt somebody on the knee. That's diving on a knee with the intent to injure. I think Andy's right. What Ward did to me was self-preservation. You got to find a way to get this guy that's twice the size of you on the ground. If you go high, you're not going to be able to do it.
All right. Zach Strong has the next question. It has to do with Aaron Dobson. He wonders, should we give up on him by now? Things have changed in a year. Do you think that there is still a chance that Dobson is able to become a legitimate contributor?
I actually still think there is hope for Dobson long-term. Short-term, in 2014, probably not. Andy has a little phrase that he likes to use. He's sort of turning the corner onto Taylor Price Way and becoming irrelevant. But
how come you take shots, making them sound like they come from me?
I still see there's some talent, and I don't want to completely discredit the whole offseason situation with Dobson. He missed the whole all of the spring, all into training camp. He got very little time in the preseason. I think he played just one game. That's hard for a young receiver. Brandon LaFell really emerged, and he has taken advantage of his opportunities. And right now, there's no room for Dobson. But I'm not quite ready to completely close the door in his career.
All right.
We'll make that year two jump a year three jump.
Okay. Gare Reed has the next question, and he says, in an alternate universe, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are on the same team during training camp. Who would get the start?
Oh, it's easy. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Brady, we felt like this. I know we're all homers here. Everybody likes to, make fun of us. Hey, shout out to sunshine.com, but I'm sorry. Tom Brady's number one.
Let's just look at it. He looks better. Like, when he throws,
that doesn't really count.
No, it does, though. I'd be watching him practice. I'd say he looks more mechanically sound. His balls don't flutter. He throws nice, tight spirals. He looks younger. He's handsome for my team. The marketing off the field.
He's wicked handsome.
Everything. Tom Brady kills it.
I think if the team is a fantasy team, Manning gets a start. But on real football, Tom Brady. All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to us at askpfw@patriots.com.